This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, July 11th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, an interview with Katie Pottagrossi. For 12 years, she was the mayor of Rantoul. In those 12 years, it was some of the town's most troubling times as Chanute Air Force Base was closed. We'll also get a weekend forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. Illinois House lawmakers have defeated a plan to expand gambling as a way to pay for construction needs in the state. Sean Crawford has that story.
The package would drastically change the gambling landscape in Illinois, giving Chicago a casino and adding two more in the state. But as was expected, the measure fell far short of passing, leaving the future of a so-called capital program more uncertain than ever. While all seem to agree Illinois needs to fix roads, bridges, schools, and other infrastructure, House Democrat Bob Flyder of Decatur says there has to be a better way.
We need to find a way to look at something other than a massive expansion of gambling that probably isn't going to pay the freight anyway. We need an ongoing capital bill. That's what we need. We need revenues dedicated. We shouldn't have to go through this every 8, 9, 10 years, say, oh, we need a new capital bill. That's just a ridiculous way to govern.
Others say their distrust of Governor Rod Blagojevich, who would oversee the program, prevented them from voting for it. The city of Chicago was also opposed to paying a licensing fee included in the measure. After the defeat, the House Speaker, Mike Madigan, called the gaming plan dead. But Madigan is bringing the House back next week to consider restoring some money to the budget that the governor cut. The House will return to Springfield for 3 days starting next Tuesday. The Senate won't come back until the House takes action. I'm Sean Crawford.
State Representative Chapin Rose believes a tax hike may come as soon as January 1st. The Republican from Mahomet says if spending for the current budget is on schedule, the money will last only until next March.
I think what Mike Madigan, the Speaker, wants to do is wait till the day after the election, suddenly declare a problem and raise income taxes. But they don't have the courage to do it before the election.
Rose says since the state budget took effect yesterday, lawmakers have a 2-week grace period to attempt changing the budget, but he believes nothing significant will happen to make up for Governor Blagojevich's $1.5 billion in cuts. Madigan says he will not push for a tax increase in the fall veto session. Since state leaders began budget negotiations months ago, Illinois House Speaker Madigan has refused to attend. As Amanda Vinicky reports, Madigan provided some insight as to why yesterday.
The budget and other top priorities are typically settled in private leaders' meetings, backdoor negotiations between the governor, Senate president, and House speaker. The General Assembly's two Republican leaders are also called in when GOP votes are needed to get a measure passed. But all year, Speaker Madigan's instead sent surrogates to budget meetings, as well as talks about a statewide infrastructure plan. Madigan says his presence makes the meetings unproductive.
There's something about my presence in the room with the governor that just brings on a whole new personality from the governor.
It's an example of the tension between the two Democrats, and one which is at the root of why a construction program that both the governor and speaker say they want has not passed. Another example of that tension and distrust is a memo written by the speaker's campaign staff detailing reasons to impeach Blagojevich. When asked this week about impeachment, Madigan only said, "Let me get back with you on that." I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Champaign County Auditor Tony Fabry is defending the timeliness of financial documents that his office provided that led an accounting firm to an outside audit of the county. Accountant Carl Drake is recommending that someone other than Fabry be responsible for providing analysis of financial statements. Drake told the County Board's Finance Committee last night that the documents were turned over just before a June 30th due date and placed unfair stress on his staff. Fabry says Drake's comments seem to be more about politics than accounting, but Fabry says provided he's reelected as auditor this fall, his staff would try to get the documents out sooner in 2009.
It's dependent on many different people getting things in to our office and to other offices in a timely manner, and we do an amazingly good job of doing that. You can always improve on what you do, and that's what we'll do next year.
Fabry says it's unlikely the state statute would allow anyone other than himself to compile those documents. Drake says the county's nursing home was also responsible for delays on the audit due in part to accounting errors. The home's administrator, Andrew Buffenbarger, says he's working with the recently hired consultant to iron out those problems. Tomorrow is the official opening date for a facility that's giving the old Champaign County Nursing Home building a new life. Police officers and other emergency responders from across Illinois and the Midwest will go through training at the new headquarters of the Illinois Law Enforcement Alarm System. Its director, Jim Page, says while a portion of the old nursing home building has been remodeled into offices, the oldest wings will be used for training exercises, and two of the newer wings will be kept up as a makeshift hospital unit if the need ever arises.
In case there's ever a disaster or something, folks like you and I could sleep on a cot. If, you know, we were evacuated, we could sleep on a cot in a gymnasium. But if you're on dialysis or you're on a vent or you have, you know, diabetes or Alzheimer's or something where you need a hospital, that's what we're talking about doing with that portion of the building.
The agency known as ILEAS was formed to help emergency responders learn homeland security skills like unified response or crime scene processing. The county maintains ownership of the building. ILEAS used about $3 million in state grants for renovation. And the governor signed a bill that would allow the city of Paris to buy a former prison work camp for $1. The city's been trying to gain control of the Ed Jennison work camp since former Governor Ryan shut it down in 2002. The camp housed 200 prisoners who provided thousands of man-hours of work each week to the neighboring communities. A popular proposal would call for some sort of educational facility. Representative Roger Eddy filed the bill. He says using the campground for educational purposes means that it can be an asset to the community again.
It's going to bring opportunities to people. People are going to have a facility that can be used for education and workforce development and providing them with a real chance to use education to enhance their future.
Plans for the former work camp aren't final yet, but it could become the site for a new Paris high school, a job retraining center, or an alternative education facility. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. It's been 20 years since the federal government announced that Chanute Air Force Base would close its doors. That cost over 1,000 jobs and decimated the population of Rantoul. But the effort to redevelop the land has also produced a number of success stories. Katie Pottagrossi served as Rantoul's mayor through much of that time. This week, the village's leader for more than 12 years and resident for nearly 50 is leaving the community. She spoke with AM 580's Jeff Bossert.
Although she's returning to her roots in South Georgia, Katie Pottagrossi has called Rantoul home since 1960.
You can't serve in the public as I have done for so many years and not feel like you're an integral part of the community, and the community will always be a part of me.
Pottagrossi and her family moved to the village when her husband Ernie was stationed at Chanute. She spent 8 years as editor of the Rantoul Press and later wrote 2 books on Rantoul's history. She also served as executive director of the Armed Services YMCA. But Pottagrossi says she wanted to make more of a difference in the community, so she ran successfully for village board. She was later appointed mayor when Jack McGilton left office for health reasons. Pottagrossi's goals included building a new police station and downtown planning, but they were set aside one day in 1988 when the Base Closure and Realignment Commission announced that Chanute Air Force Base was targeted for closure.
I cleaned off my desk that morning because we had some press people and other people coming in, and I put everything on top of my desk. I put it in a box and I put it underneath my desk. I didn't get that box out from underneath my desk until sometime in May, and that happened the end of December. So that tells you where your priorities change.
Pottagrossi's efforts to save the base brought some jobs in, boosting the tax base, but that didn't change the minds of the government.
A lot of people use the term panicked, and they felt like that we were afraid of the future. I don't think that was true. I think that we were given 5 years' notice, and we felt that with 5 years' notice, we could survive. But we were angry because our senators and others did studies using the formula that the Base Closure Commission said that they used. Chanute should not have been closed. There were other bases that should have been closed before Chanute.
Pottagrossi says it was about a year before she realized that efforts to save the base had run their course.
We had one committee working to attract industry, the other committee working to stop the closure. We raised money that simply went into a pool, and either committee that needed it used it. And each committee tried not to do anything to harm the efforts of the other committee. If it looked like that they were making headway in saving the base, then there was a lot of concentration on that. But if we were working with somebody like, for instance, United Airlines, then all of our effort went into that, you know, just kind of back and forth. But we didn't miss a heartbeat in trying both things. But after about a year, we gave up on trying to save the base and concentrated strictly on jobs. And that was a horrendous. We could have been so much more successful if the federal government had not been so hard to work with. And as I understand it, they still are.
Padagrossi says tenants wanting to use the soon-to-be-vacant buildings at the base weren't provided access until after the military moved out. But once it did, she says Rantoul can be proud for how it came through the process. Redevelopment resulted in a municipal airport, many businesses, the Chanute Air Museum, and Lincoln's Challenge Academy, a National Guard-run program for troubled youth.
Psychologically, I think for us old-timers, it's just good to ride by out there and see those blue suits and see those kids marching. And so it's kind of as a reminder of what was when Chanute was here. I thought that there were times when I was in office that it seemed like Rantoul almost spoke with one voice. If we had a company coming in to look us over and put the word out that they were coming in, people were so good to get out and clean up the community and just make it sparkle. This community has always worked as one community, and I hope that that remains, and I hope that they remember that I was a part of that and that I loved it.
This week, Katie and Ernie Padagrossi are leaving Rantoul for Tifton, Georgia, to be closer to a daughter, son-in-law, and grandkids, as well as three of Katie's sisters. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
And Jeff's full interview with Katie Padagrossi can be found on our website at will.illinois.edu. We'll start off with heat and humidity as we enter the end of the week and the weekend. Our forecaster Mike Sola says it'll be partly to mostly sunny today through most of the two-state area. There'll be scattered showers and thunderstorms ending this morning in the north, with widely scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in the south later and isolated storms possible in central sections. Highs today ranging between 88 and 94, a hot and humid 90 in Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms increasing in coverage mainly after midnight, the lows between 67 and 72. And for tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with widely scattered thunderstorms early in the day, increasing in coverage later for Saturday and shifting from northwest to southeast through the day. The wind gusts will be shifting as a front moves through. The highs tomorrow from 80 in far northwest Illinois to 92 in southern Indiana, 87 in Champaign-Urbana. For tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with occasional showers and thunderstorms and a low of 66 in the Champaign-Urbana area, then partly sunny and less humid for Sunday with a high of 84, Monday sunny and 82. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, July 11th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.